welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, April the 11th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And yes, my voice sounds a little bit different than last week. Now, you may not have listened to last week because Lord knows it is out there somewhere in the interwebs. Okay, so let's start, brothers and sisters, with a bit of an announcement. Okay, clearly, this issue with my host is not going away. I have talked to them repeatedly. I've expressed my severe and large amounts of frustration and asked them to fully fix it, and it clearly is just not happening. So I've got a decision to make that we just kind of go forward like this. Or I go to another host and get one of those and start getting things out weekly again, which certainly seems right. But here's where my announcement part comes in. Brothers and sisters, I've been doing this podcast for 5 years and started in March of 2020 when the COVID pandemic came in as a way to be in touch with those when we were all isolated, right? During the pandemic. And it started as a daily podcast. I did the readings of the day, Monday through Friday. And then after about 2 years of doing that, until Pentecost of 2022, I did a daily podcast. And then starting at Pentecost 2022, what I did was I started going to a weekly podcast and I did the Sunday readings. And so even before all these crazy things were happening with my host and not sending it to my feeds and things like that, my game plan, my end game was to finish and hang up the podcast Pentecost this year of 2025. And the reasoning for that was then I would have gone through every reading of the daily readings in cycle 1 and 2, and I would have gone through every reading with the Sunday cycle A, B, and C. And so, I mean, I could keep going, but I'll just be keep saying the same thing. I mean, you think I'm saying the same thing now. Heck, wait till I get to the same readings. And I just think, you know, that there's a time and a place for everything. There's a season for everything. And I think that this season is, and maybe this very issue with the host is just reminding me, hey, this season is finished, that it's been wonderful. I've done this podcast for 5 years, and I am so grateful. And I'll speak more about it when we get to Pentecost. We've got 8 more weeks. But just so you know, I mean, I could go find another host, but I don't think that makes a lot of sense for 8 more weeks. And so I regret deeply that you're getting 2 or 3 episodes downloaded at once because that's when the host gets to it. But that's just kind of the way it is. And hopefully people will go back and listen. And if this has been something that has been beneficial to you, one, I'm honored and I'm humbled by that. But two, just know all you need to do is go back, you know, to that same episode, that same, you know, back 3 years ago, and I'm going to have those same readings in that same cycle. This year we're in Luke, and I'd have gone through all those in that ordinary time from Pentecost all the way through to Advent, and they can be found there if that's important. And if not, well, I'm just grateful for you listening to this one, and thank you for doing that. So, you didn't come to listen to that announcement, but that's just something so you know what is happening. And we are going to take a look at the readings for this coming weekend, which, of course, is what we call Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion. That's the full title, but we just call it Palm Sunday for short. And one of the things and the reasons it's called Passion Sunday, of course, is because we are going to hear Luke's version of the Passion this whole weekend. We are going to perhaps be a part of it, and we will hear it in full, but I'm not going to read it here. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to read actually 3 readings I'm going to read the first reading, which is out of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 to 7. Marvelous reading. It's the suffering servant reading, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Then we're going to read out of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Both of these readings are very, they're not only wonderful, but they're well-known readings. You're going to be familiar with them. And then finally, we're going to read the gospel. It's a short gospel, but it's called the entrance gospel, and you're going to hear it this weekend at the beginning of Mass, as the priest is going to read it or the deacon's going to read it at the entrance, just as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And that is Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. So lots of reading. We've already gone 6 minutes because of my darn announcement. So let's just dive into the Word of God. And here's my suggestion. I'm going to talk after it. You know I'm going to. I can't not. That's just what I do. But here's what I invite us to. The readings and the feast day carries the power today. Not my words. This is Jesus' great statement of what love looks like, of how much he loved and loves you and I and creation and all of us. My question for you and I is, what do we love so much that we are willing to die, whether that's a physical death, as Jesus does, or a death to our own agenda, which, by the way, Jesus does as well. He shows us that far more first. And then because of that, he shows us the second with his physical death. What or who, on whose behalf or on what's behalf, if I can say it that way, are we willing to lay up our own agenda, to lay up our own ideas or control or power and die to ourself in order that the kingdom of God, in order that life and love or somebody else may live well because of our decision, our death. So with that, brothers and sisters, however it is that you prepare yourself to hear and understand and retain and hold on to God's word, I invite you to do that at this time and allow that word to find root within you. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set myself, my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, brothers and sisters, I won't do this after each reading, but if there is something in the readings, in the feast itself, in whatever is going on within you, a word, a phrase, a thought, an image, an idea, let the Spirit of God speak well to you through that, okay? Let that Spirit of God, which continues to still be alive, speak well. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.'" So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying this colt?" And they answered him, "The master has need of it." So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road, and now as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said in reply, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So let's do this. Let's talk about these readings in the order in which we heard. Now, the order in which I gave them to you is not the order in which you're going to hear them this weekend. You're going to hear the gospel first. Then you're going to hear the first reading, then the second, and then the passion. But because the gospel is always last, I chose to do it last here today. So in Isaiah, Isaiah writes of what's called the suffering servant. And I'm not going to go into the theology of it. I'm not going to go into what theologians believe in, because it's all over the place. But there are four distinct passages, one in chapter 42, I believe, one in chapter 49, one in chapter 50, which is the one we hear today, and then the one we will hear on Good Friday, this coming Friday, which is the famous one, you know, like a sheep to the shearers, he opened not his mouth. That's chapter 52 into 53. And these are called the suffering servant songs, or the servant songs. And again, I'm not going to speak to the various thoughts on them, but I will say, I mean, clearly in hindsight, we look and can read Jesus into these. Now, that doesn't mean they were solely about Jesus. They have meaning apart and distinct from that for our Jewish brothers and sisters. But it's easy to listen to this and read Jesus into that, right? But if, brothers and sisters, we read Jesus into it, we have to read you and I into it. Because we are, you know, that Christianus alter Christus. We are that Christ in the world today. The Christian is another Christ. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled. I have not turned back. I mean, that idea, brothers and sisters, that morning after morning we give ourselves to God. It's that new creation, right? That new dawn. Every day is that new creation. And we give ourselves to God, that we may hear, because God is still speaking, what I talked about last week. and we may hear that. And in so hearing, we have a choice to take that word to heart and act upon it, or to rebel and turn away from it. Well, the Lord has given this person, this suffering servant, this Christ, a well-trained tongue who has heard and has not rebelled and has brought it forward. The word, in a sense, became flesh. The word that Jesus heard every morning after morning, he internalized and he went forward and lived it out. The word that he heard became flesh. And therefore, he has given that Christ figure, Jesus in this case, but you and I in other cases, this well-trained tongue, that we may speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Because brothers and sisters, and it isn't just speaking, brothers and sisters, right, with our words. It's speaking with our life. It's speaking with our love. It's speaking with our patience. It's speaking with our creativity. It's speaking with our act of service. It's speaking in whatever way God teaches you to speak, because you have a distinct voice, both verbally and both physically and both in your creativity and in who you are. But we are called, brothers and sisters, to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them and help them come to life. Because isn't that the calling card of God? And if you don't believe it this week, I hope we all do next week, because that's the whole point. It's the exclamation point on the life of Jesus, on the yes of Jesus, in that death does not have the last word. But today we talk about death, because that's what it is. That's our focus this week. Next week we'll talk about life. But brothers and sisters, you and I are called to embody this, to create this word becoming flesh. Morning after morning, do we give our ears, our very hearts, our minds, our lives to this God who will speak to us? And therefore, do we say yes to this embodiment and bring it forward? And brothers and sisters, just as happened in the life of Isaiah and the suffering servant of Jesus, we cannot expect the world to greet us and welcome us with open arms, because evil is present and a reality in this world. I'm saying nothing that is new to any of you. All we need to do is look around in our world today. Evil and death are present, and they're not that hidden. They are not that hidden. And what happens to this person who does not rebel? He gives his back to those who beat him, and his cheeks to those who pluck his beard. And his face he did not shield from buffets or spitting, but he sets his face like flint, knowing that he shall not be put to shame, meaning knowing that death and these insults do not have the last word. Because love does. Because we know it's true, because that's the pattern that Jesus shows us. Brothers and sisters, we may say, you know, and it's interesting, because evil was every bit as present in the world that Jesus lived in. But he showed us the pattern that he does not meet evil with evil. He does not meet violence with violence, but instead meets violence and evil with the only tool that he carried in his tool belt, as it were, and that is love. And that is love and forgiveness and in action. Now we may say, Joe, that's foolish, because that love got beaten. It got beaten on the very thing that we remember in this liturgy. But I would say, did it? Did it get beaten? Because here we are 2,000 years later, and we still speak about it. Because we know death did not have the final say. We know that, but we know death is a reality in this passion play. And if you and I are going to embody the word, we know, and we must know, that we must set aside our own agenda and our own control and our own ideals, because somebody else who may have stronger tools in their tool belt, seemingly, may have different thoughts. Brothers and sisters, that's what we get to say yes or no to. That is when our God gives us that word morning after morning, we get to decide, do I want to rebel? Do I want to say no? Do I want to pretend like I didn't hear that today and move in a different way? I understand that. I'm sure you get that. But every day we get to decide again and anew. Will I be that well-trained tongue? Will I speak the language our God gives you or gives me? I could keep going, but Lord have mercy. We've already gone 20 minutes. I love this from Philippians, and I'm only going to speak the first part of it. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Instead, he emptied himself, right? Taking the form of a slave that ultimately becomes obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Remember, this day is all about death. Physical, literal, and figurative. We are called to die. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it bears no fruit. But if it dies, it brings forth a rich harvest. I mean, this is the pattern. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And it's so interesting that Paul is comparing Jesus to Adam here, right? Because in Adam's case, Adam did grasp equality with God, right? That's what the serpent said. God knows he doesn't want you to eat that fruit in the garden, because if you do, you are going to be like him. And so Adam and Eve grasped that fruit and ate of it because they wanted to be like God. And brothers and sisters, I don't think you and I are that different than Adam and Eve. I think we grasp it all the time because we want to be like God, not because we're trying to belittle God or we're trying to belittle other people, but because our egos are so fragile and we want to be seen as somebody wise or intelligent or good or you name whatever behind that. And so we grasp at that. But the only one in the history of humanity that could grasp that chose not to, and instead was obedient to death, even death on a cross, that every knee shall bend and every tongue proclaim in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's like in the gospel that we're going to hear, and I'm going to get to it in two shakes, is, you know what, even if everybody is silent on this road, the rocks themselves will sing. All of creation will sing because God deserves to be praised. And in this, Jesus Christ, because he chose the tool of love in his tool belt and not violence and not evil and not destruction, but he chose life and he chose love, every knee shall bow and every tongue proclaim. Brothers and sisters, there are days it is wonderful to be another Christ, that we were baptized into this Christ Jesus and we rise a new creation. And there are days it's wonderful. When we had the transfiguration recently, that's a good day to be a Christ figure. Today's a hard day because it reminds us of the other part. You know, that's why God the Father had to tell the disciples in that, you know, cloud of unknowing, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Why? Because what is he talking about? Because he's talking about his passion. Because he's talking that it's not just mountaintop experiences. It's saying yes and knowing that our back may be beaten or our cheeks, beards plucked. And so, brothers and sisters, we go to the gospel and that beautiful story of Jesus saying yes to entering in. And does he enter in like Pilate or like the armies of Rome on horses and steeds with armies and armor and weapons? He enters in on a donkey, a foal, an ass, a beast of burden, not a beast of war, a beast of burden. He enters in humility. And all of creation begins singing. And that bothers the Pharisees, of course. It bothers the leaders of the Jewish people who rebuke the disciples and say, tell your master, you know, because they know they're quoting scripture here and they're quoting the one about the Messiah. And Jesus rebukes them and says, listen, I tell you, even if they keep silent, the stones themselves will cry out. But this will be the last thing I say. You know, it's so easy to say that they were praising Jesus as you went in. And in a sense, of course, they were. They were putting their palm branches down and waving them and placing their cloaks before him as one does a visiting dignitary. So they recognized his kingship. But hear how Luke describes this. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. It doesn't say they praised Jesus for all the mighty deeds. They began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They saw the works of Jesus and they thanked God for them. And I think that's just a good way for us to end this series of readings today, just to remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, there may be all kinds of things going on in our lives that are difficult today, but there is also all kinds of good, and there are blessings, and there are people who love us, and there are people that walk with us that make our lives better, and there are blessings of another day and another mission or whatever it is, another opportunity that we didn't have, that maybe we failed at yesterday. All kinds of things that we get to choose today. Do we praise God for the things in our lives that have been holy and good that we have not only witnessed, but we have experienced? Do we thank God for that? You know, Meister Eckhart said one time, if we say one prayer in our entire life and it is thank you, it is enough. This is a good day, brothers and sisters, even on a difficult day, for us to remember how blessed we have been and how blessed we are, and to say thank you and to praise our God with who we are and with the choices we make. Brothers and sisters, it is Palm Sunday of our Lord's Passion. We are called to be this Word incarnate, and we have a choice once again every day. Do we rebel or turn back, or do we say yes and become this Word, this flesh, this Word made flesh incarnate? Knowing that that doesn't mean we grasp equality with God, but it's the other. It's that path. But that we do not go alone. We go with one another, and our God goes with us, who knows the way. Let's pray. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fifth sorrowful mystery. Jesus dies on the cross. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thanks for being with me on this long episode today. May your week, your holy week, be filled with every good blessing. Be well.